Hello and welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host, Jacob Granger. This week, we saw the release of the Reuters Institute Digital News Report 2024, the annual study that drills deep into the most important trends shaping the news industry. There was one chapter that really stood out to me, which was all about what news consumers think of user needs. That's the model that the BBC pioneered back in 2016. It was later expanded and adapted by other news organisations. It's a model that helps newsrooms deliver on the needs of their audience to drive deeper engagement. Now, this chapter found that audiences think not all user needs are being served as well as others. And depending on how you look at it, this is either an opportunity to improve or further evidence of why trends around news avoidance persist. I'm chewing over these findings with two news organisations with mature user needs strategies. We'll be hearing from Khalil Kasimali, Head of Audience Insights for The Conversation, and Sarah Marshall, Vice President of Audience Strategy at Condé Nast. They'll be explaining how they have built their signature user needs models in recent years and whether the findings of the report give them any pause for thought. That's all coming up, so don't go anywhere. A quick recap on the user needs model. Your classic news story is considered an update me story. It informs the audience of something that just happened. But there's seven other needs that audiences have when they engage with the news. Keep me engaged, educate me, give me perspective, divert me, inspire me, connect me, and help me. Let's first look at The Conversation, a non-profit news organisation which commissions pieces from academics that are then edited by its journalists for a general audience, all across 9 international editions. It's news and analysis based on a chosen area of expertise. Head of Audience Insight Khalil Kasimali tells me that its user needs journey began around 4 years ago during the pandemic because the editors wanted to be more useful to their audience. The website primarily serves the Educate Me and Give Me Perspective user needs, as well as its own one, Motivate Me, somewhere between action and emotion-driven user needs. You'll find this throughout the Quarter Life series, life advice pieces for people in their 20s and 30s. This series overperforms across the site, driving 17% more page views, 52% more on-site engagement, and up to 65% more engagement on social.
The way we've really implemented user needs is less about implementing across entire newsrooms, more about implementing user needs for certain verticals or certain ongoing series. And then one of the main reasons is we are doing lots of educate me and give me perspective type content, and that's always going to continue. But as we also want to be more valuable to certain niche audiences and we kind of go deep into certain topics, then we bring in that user needs model and becomes really helpful to offer much more comprehensive coverage around very specific stuff.
That's really interesting. Is there a specific underserved audience that you've been really seeking to attract to the conversation?
Yes. Defining the underserved audiences is like a separate piece of work, I would say. But where we've had quite a lot of success is through the Quarter Life series, which initially started with the UK newsroom and has since kind of grown to incorporate people from the Canadian newsroom as well. And the Quarter Life series is a series that the entire point is to be valuable to younger audiences, really, young professionals. And by bringing in user needs to that series, we are able to really be valuable in many, many different ways to that particular audience. So that's a series that's been really successful, thanks in large part to the user needs model.
Brilliant. Okay. And what does this look like internally, this strategy, in terms of how you are looking at the data? What does it look like on an everyday, every week basis?
I'll use the Quarter Life series as an example. So when we started with a very small team of editors and audience people and some quite senior editors as well, brought them all together and really started thinking about user needs. And it took a while to get everyone comfortable with the different user needs. But the interesting thing is once people are comfortable with the different user needs, then it just becomes second nature to just get it. So, you know, when we started, it was a small team. We set targets, which I think is really important. We set very clear KPIs as well. So KPIs that would basically tell us whether people are finding value in the content. That was really the entire focus. It was about providing value. And for us, we used so proxy for value is, you know, different types of engagement metrics. So by setting those clear KPIs and by setting clear targets, everyone sort of was able to align around those. Everyone sort of worked together. And by having weekly meetings with the team, people were, you know, able to start discussing why they think certain articles were doing quite well based on those KPIs and why others maybe not that much. And that's where the knowledge sharing started happening on a weekly basis. So really it was editors sort of like, you know, talking between themselves and, you know, really friends talking between themselves and starting to understand what was valuable to the audience. And, you know, using that knowledge week in, week out to produce better and better content. So started meeting the targets, set new targets, didn't necessarily meet everything, but, you know, as long as we were moving in that direction, it became very clear that we were onto something really good there.
You know, on the tagging side of things, was that always a manual effort, or are you now indeed looking to automation to make that an easier process?
Yeah, so the tagging is started very manual. I mean, it's still quite manual, but obviously when we started and we had to sort of understand how we were performing with the different needs initially. So that involved a lot of manual work in terms of tagging an archive of 6 months or whatever. So loads and loads of articles. So that's definitely a bit of a pain point, and I've heard that it's a pain point for others as well who, you know, start in that process. But, you know, you have to do it, and then you do it and you get loads of data. Going forward, we manually tag the articles. So the audience team would basically go in and manually tag the articles across the different user needs. So clearly not sustainable, but, you know, initially Quarter Life, we're not publishing that many articles. So it was very much doable. Going forward, I've started scaling user needs initially within the UK newsroom. Became quite clear very quickly that we needed a more sustainable way of doing it. So it's still manual, but now it's, you know, the editors themselves have been trained and are tagging their own articles. It does mean that a large portion of our articles are now tagged with the different user needs, which obviously allows us to do a lot of analysis and stuff going forward.
Now we turn to Condé Nast, a mass media company that owns dozens of international titles, but one you will have no doubt heard of is Vogue. Vogue has been leaning into user needs for around 5 years at this point as a pioneering title for Condé Nast, and leading the line there has been Sarah Marshall, Vice President of Audience Insights. Like many titles, it found early on that it was publishing too many Update Me stories, which would ultimately underperform. Divert Me and Inspire Me, which will be key to our conversation later on, proved to be hotspots for their audience, which were not being fully taken advantage of. But it also found something else, a brand-specific user need called Make Me Responsible. Stories that help audiences become better versions of themselves, especially around values and sustainability.
We looked at the top user needs by market. In the UK, that was the top one, Make Me Responsible. So Vogue readers really wanted help to be made more responsible. But when we looked at our audience data, we found that just 2% of the articles we were publishing actually help people become more responsible. So there's a white space. If it's just 2% of articles, there's a white space. Could we grow audiences? Could we engage more audiences if we actually create stuff that responds to actually what they need?
Right. And to be clear, that Make Me Responsible, that's a brand specific user need. That's not one that's...
So we've actually changed it since, but at that stage, it was so loud and clear that we were hearing that people really wanted to help navigating how to shop, how the kind of brands in the fashion space. It was so important to users. As we've moved on, and as consumers have moved on during COVID and all the other things that have happened since, what we decided to do, we adjusted our needs model slightly. So last year we updated it. We actually dropped Make Me Responsible. users still want that, but we kind of made it a little bit broader. So we switched that one out for Guide Me.
I love that.
And Guide Me is really useful. People really want a guide. They want to, it might be Guide Me, help me shop. Guide me to understand this thing better. So ours are now, just to reiterate, update me, inspire me, educate me, guide me, connect me, and divert me. Connect me is we always said it wasn't about the content. Connect me back in 2019 when we first did it was about, you know, allowing people to come and meet each other in real life, to participate in communities on Instagram, etc. That need has become more prevalent in the last couple of years. Our consumer insights team, led by Paul Nesbitt, would be saying, like, the things that are important for future audiences are all about people want to be allowed to participate. They want to, you know, connect me and allow me to express myself. Connect me so I can show others my values. Connect me with others. So it's all of this community stuff. And I think, you know, we're talking at a time when there's so many headwinds in audience. You know, we're facing the immediate impacts of recent algorithm changes. We've got the threat of AI overviews. We've got Facebook just fell off a cliff last year for a lot of publishers. So really thinking through creating direct audience strategies, it's really, really useful as a framework to focus on user needs, to really think about how we can best serve audiences.
And yeah, that's really fascinating. But does user needs just apply to the articles, or is that thinking also going into the types of products that you're launching too?
I think it has to go. It has to go beyond that. So what surprised me so much was working on the original user needs study was just how much editors caught onto it. I kind of thought it might be one of those studies we do and we look at and it's like, yeah, that's nice. What they did, it kind of took a life of its own. So we sent every Vogue around the world, all of the owned and operated Vogue that were under what was Condé Nast International. So whether it was Vogue Japan, Vogue Taiwan, etc., we sent them their own study and Vogue India. I remember Vogue India's. So Vogue India's was like, you're doing a lot of update me stories, but what users really want is to be inspired. That your average stories are so much higher when you write inspirational stuff. So then they really took it as a newsroom and they really pivoted. Rather than just saying this on the Mumbai catwalk, they'd be like, this is the look you should try. It was flipping the story. It was repositioning. It was classic kind of audience development techniques.
That's super interesting. So, you know, user needs, not just a cool idea, not just the buzzword of the minute, but there's a real performance and relevance imperative here as a publication group,
yeah,
in order to be pivoting in this way.
Absolutely. And I tell the other example I have of who took it and run with it, Vogue Japan. They even started tagging things within the CMS with the user need, because when we did the data, it was a very manual process. I remember we took data, I want to say it was from like the month of March 2019, and we all sat down in a room, those people, somebody who speaks each of the languages, we sat here in the office where I'm speaking to you from, and we kind of went through like Vogue Italy and said, well, is that a divert me story? Is that an inspire me story? Is that an update me story? And we all did it together, but we had to go through every story published, which is probably 400 or 500 stories per title, manually in a spreadsheet. But that was how we did it at the time. And I think, yeah, look, there's many sentiment analysis, many other ways you could do this. But realistically, the editor powered one was probably the best in terms of understanding the framing of each story.
Do you think you'll look to automation to do that moving forward?
I think there are things we could do within the CMS so that if you were writing a story that was, you felt was inspirational, you could tag it with that. It's something we've never kind of introduced since. The area I would say that I most use it now is when we're really thinking about our newsletter strategy. And back to this idea of direct audiences, and we're all trying to win in that space and really create these direct relationships with audiences. And no better way to read a story than in your inbox. It's this perfect unit where you can get updated. When we've been overhauling newsletter strategies, whether for Wired or Vanity Fair or Vogue or GQ, and giving them some advice, what we did, back end of last year, we created a spreadsheet with all the newsletters from all the titles. And me and our newsletter lead, who's in my team, we kind of went through and we're like, okay, what audience need, what purpose, does this newsletter have? How is it responding to a user need? Is it updating people first thing in the morning? Is it a type of news alert email that is really giving people an update in real time? Is it supposed to inspire them? One that really rang through for me with newsletters based on a channel-based need system was Guide Me. the idea of a newsletter being a guide. And I think those ones that are the guide, and if you take that framework and take that thinking, create the best guide you can for your audience on this topic this week or this day or however long, however frequently the newsletter goes out, that's a really great place to start.
It seems to me that one thing that Khalil and Sarah both have in common is that user needs are not just about individual stories, but wider sections, formats, and products. Look nowhere else than their signature, brand-specific user needs. Khalil talked about the Motivate Me user need, which runs through the Quarter Life article series and attracts younger audiences. Sarah talked about how newsletters are the perfect place for Guide Me content, setting up their audience at a particular point in the day. Bear that in mind as we next discuss the Digital News Report 2024, the annual global survey published by the Reuters Institute, where there was a whole section dedicated to user needs and what audiences really think of them. One key finding is that people broadly see news existing in its traditional form. When it comes to what is considered most important to them, Update Me tops the list. News that keeps me up to date on what's just happened. And Divert Me sits right at the bottom. News which is entertaining or is a lighter take on serious topics. Here's Khalil.
So news organisations obviously focus on the understand and knowledge basic needs. And people hopefully get quite a lot of value from those. But obviously with people having all the different needs beyond knowledge and understanding, I think us as news organisations, if we can also, you know, be valuable to them by serving some of those additional needs, it's great for the audience. Right? If people are getting value from those, that's great. And by extension, that'd be great for us as well.
Inspire Me, I think, is one of the really interesting trends that came out of the Digital News Report. Would love your perspective on it. Really, the finding in there is that Inspire Me is the user need that people think is least well served by the news, but it's actually the second most in demand. How do you explain that mismatch? And indeed, are you trying to plug that gap in any way?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will have different ideas about what's happening there, but I think most of us, I would suspect, will agree that, you know, in general, the news media focuses on the negativity and the negative stuff that's happening. You know, maybe people within the media industry won't necessarily agree with this, but, you know, if we talk to our neighbours, families, that's what I'm pretty sure most of us will hear. So there is that perception, and personally, I do think there's a lot of truth in that, that, you know, news media is very negative. So when people are saying, I'm, you know, fed up with all the negativity, I think it's pretty natural then that we'll say that I want the more, you know, inspiring type of things that's happening. Because let's face it, a lot of good things also happen in the world, like probably more good things than bad things. That's not to say that we shouldn't cover the bad things. Of course we should. But I think we should also cover the good things that are happening. And maybe we don't do that enough.
Yeah. How important is Inspire Me to the conversations audience?
It's pretty important. So, you know, we have the Motivate Me a need, somewhat similar, I guess, to the Inspire Me. So audiences who were reading our climate coverage, who read our climate coverage quite a bit, when we did the research with them, and that's the first user needs research that we did across the entire conversation, actually, the Motivate Me need was clearly the biggest one. So there was a clear need to get more sort of positive news, more actionable insights from our climate coverage. So the conversation actually is one, if not the largest climate publisher in the world in terms of the number of articles that we publish. I think we publish something like, you know, 3 to 5 articles, climate articles a day. Obviously, we cover the Educate Me, we explain stuff, we cover the Give Me Perspective, you know, the analysis, etc. But not necessarily too much, you know, what people can do, not necessarily too much, you know, what community is doing. And that's actually quite interesting because I remember distinctly when we were doing the research, I had a one-to-one interview with someone and they said, I want to know what the community next to mine, you know, the town next to mine, what are they doing in terms of climate action that we can then do, you know, within our communities, within our towns, etc. And I thought that was really interesting. And there was definitely like a clear need for this. So one of the things we did very quickly was we relaunched our climate newsletter to focus it around climate action. So it's a weekly newsletter and every issue goes deep into a specific topic with that kind of motivate me lens to it.
Makes a lot of sense. When the pitchers come in to do a contribution on climate, are they always presented as a motivate me piece, or do you have to rework them in a way that, that suits that user need?
You're right. We get a lot of pitches from academics. We also go out and commission certain academics and experts to write about specific things as well. And, you know, putting aside that, you know, again, I have to stress this, but the vast majority of the stuff that we do will be, you know, educate me and give me perspective. When the environment editors are thinking about the week's climate newsletter, which is called Imagine, so they want to build a comprehensive sort of like magazine type product where the newsletter will be sort of focused on the motivate me and increasingly on the keep me on trend user need now. But we want to make sure that we're serving all the different needs as well. So when they're commissioning content that they know will be featured in the newsletter, then they're thinking about the different user needs to make sure that ultimately the week's Imagine newsletter is quite comprehensive.
That makes a lot of sense. So you've got a specific outlet for that topic which serves that user need, and by putting that in front of the contributor and saying, well, listen, this story needs to belong in this product which typically serves a particular purpose, they're then already thinking about serving that user needs. Those expectations are kind of managed and they're thinking actively about that.
Yeah, exactly. So it might not be as explicit as you know, just from the get-go saying this will fall into this bucket, but it's definitely part of the editorial thinking that the content will eventually be in a broader, you know, in the newsletter, which is much more comprehensive magazine type of publication, I suppose.
If I could ask this question, Khalil, what happens if a contribution comes in that you can see is right on the nose in terms of being topical and newsworthy and something you want to cover, but it doesn't meet the user need that you want it to? Does that happen, and what's the process from there?
Yeah, it definitely does happen. I think there are numerous examples that come to mind for Quarter Life especially. We know that 99% of the time, the evidence, the data, the right information is in the article because it's the experts writing it. So that, you know, that box is ticked most of the time. But you're right, sometimes there might need to be some more work to just make sure that it fits the particular user need. But again, you know, we work with the authors in a really collaborative way. So there's quite a lot of back and forth sometimes when necessary. And, you know, ultimately, authors, the vast majority of them are quite positive about the experience. And we have authors who actually find it much easier when we tell them this is the specific audience that we want to be valuable to, this is the user need. So that's also a positive. So it's not just a positive for the newsroom necessarily, it's also positive for the academics themselves. Find it easier sometimes to write an article then.
It's interesting that again we're talking about news products, in this case the climate newsletter, as a way to help writers, in their case specifically that's external contributors, to wrap their heads around user needs. Inspire Me is something that Vogue has long been serving to their readers. So here's Sarah Marshall on that key finding that this is the user need that appears to be the most underserved in the news.
So let's think about the kind of news publishers in general and those that are really winning out and those big ones that were talked about during, I was at the launch event of the Digital News Report, you know, The Guardian, The New York Times, etc. They're not just publishing news. They are inspiring people. You know, they're also, you know, letting people play games and connecting people with other people. They're doing many things. I would say they quite often ask, the stories probably that do well for sometimes the New York Times and the Guardian are those inspirational stories. I think those news outlets have a much wider kind of feature-based, kind of more lifestyle sections. And that's what a lot of consumers want, right? That mix of stories. So I do think that across the board for news, those who play in the Inspire Me space can really win through, and they probably see it. They're really helping the user do something. I definitely think that that wins true for us. I mean, we're slightly different in the fact that we were always quite inspirational. However, I will say still, when we did that study, that manual study back in 2019, March, I think it was the majority of the stories that we were producing were Update Me stories. I want to say it was 50-something percent. It's definitely more than half. So even for a publisher like Vogue, it was still doing a lot of that TikTok news. I don't mean TikTok the platform. I mean like the what's happening in the day. And so it was like, this happened, this thing happened, a new thing happened, this news is broken. And those stories are here today, gone tomorrow. Whereas those Inspire Me stories, maybe they have a bit of a longer shelf life, they have a bit of a life cycle. I think what publishers need to do now more than ever is user behaviors are changing, consumers are changing, and platforms are changing.
Right.
So if we don't respond to what people, future audiences want, we've lost them. We really need to pay attention to this stuff. We do it all the time at Condé Nast. Our consumer insights team will start a conversation with the editor-in-chief of any of our brand to really go, okay, well, users want to connect with people, or users are really thinking about this trend. So we might bring more personality onto social or into newsletters. We really are paying a lot of attention to it at Condé Nast, because it's moving really fast. I read a McKinsey report this morning. Again, my takeaway from that was around consumers changing in ways that we've just never seen before. So for example, a takeaway from that report was really people are changing less in terms of age category than they used to. It's much more, you know, it's much more fluid. So whereas older users used to be, or older audiences maybe used to be more brand loyal, whether it's to a supermarket or a news brand, that's changed. So we really need to pay attention to not just what our audience dashboards are saying, the Parsleys, the Chartbeats, the Google Analytics. We need to talk to audiences. We need to survey audiences. We need to do focus groups of audiences. We need to ask people that we meet in the street that read our titles what they want. So this focus on user needs is just one example of how we really need to put the audience first and serve an audience.
It's interesting you bring up the age comparison there, because the other interesting trend with user needs that I found in the report was around divert me, which I think is kind of the user need that feels most foreign to journalists, because it's so much against that TikTok news you just spoke about there. It's the user needs that audience perceive as being the lowest priority, but it's the only user need that it seems more important to the youngest categories than the oldest ones. So do you read anything into that? And is that at all anything that you're thinking about right now?
So there's a lot in that news report as well about news avoidance and people just finding it too depressing. I mean, post-Brexit and another general election and, you know, things that are, I think the point that Nick Newman, the lead author of the report, made at the presentation was, you know, people don't feel like these things are in their control. They don't feel like they can change any of these things, whether it's war in Ukraine, whether it's the war in Gaza. Like, people feel very disempowered and therefore they tending to avoid the news. So what is that space in diverting people? We've all changed the way we read. You know, I was talking earlier about, you know, sitting up in bed at night before we go to bed, or watching Netflix on the telly and then at the same time reading something. That is a space where you can divert people. And it might feel a bit alien to some news brands. To our news brands, it doesn't, because we've always like created these, like, you know, think about a Vogue fashion shoot. It's a fantasy world. It's taking people out. So it's not something that to our brands is anything new. It's as old as our magazines themselves, or as our publications themselves. But really taking people and allowing that space for people to not just focus on the here and now, that is actually, you know, responding to what users actually want from what is a news site, but also offers a lot of other stories and content. And I talked before about, you know, the New York Times, its foray into cooking or doing all those other things. It's not just hard news. And I think that's how we all win.
Do you think it's just inherently kind of hard for journalists to do divert me stories, though? I mean, can you give me a good example of what would be a divert me story for you guys, and particularly one that would do well? And it maybe doesn't even have to be a story. It could be a product too.
I think probably people do them more than they realize. It's often, for us, historically, it was probably a lot of celebrity-based stories. Needs can be a little fluid. Like, you can argue whether, you know, Justin Timberlake getting arrested is a hard news story, whether it's a divert me story. It's probably a hard news story. It's probably an update me story. But, you know, when you go into that realm, definitely a lot of celebrity stories or a lot of things around things that are very different to my here and now and my daily life are probably examples.
Divert Me stories are often a lighter take on a serious story. They were initially going to be called Amuse Me, if that helps cement it in your mind. Just to stress that finding again from the Digital News Report, it is the only user need that is seen as more important to the youngest audiences, the 18 to 24s and the 25 to 34s, than the oldest categories, 45 to 54s and 55 plus. Let's go back to Khalil to see what he makes of that.
I suspect that going forward, as you know, younger and younger people come into the newsroom, but also as the user needs model and that kind of audience-informed way of thinking becomes more and more prevalent in newsrooms, I think it'll become more normalized to cater for those needs as well. You know, the Conversations US newsroom does a weekly quiz, which I'm not sure if it counts as a Divert Me because it's still kind of based on the news, but you know, the tone of it, it's fun. It's about serious stuff that's happened, but it's quite fun. It's a way for people to obviously test themselves, but I suspect the majority of people who are taking the quiz, you know, just kind of want to learn about what's happened. So it's a quiz about what's happened over the past week.
That's interesting because that's a very different product. Well, not a very different product, but it's very, you know, adjacent to the news in that sense. So you don't necessarily have to fulfill it through articles. You can maybe look to other products.
Exactly. And I suspect that, you know, a lot of those user needs that we're talking about, you know, Divert Me, but some of the others as well, going forward, you know, products that news organizations come up with are probably going to start serving those needs. I suspect that going forward, obviously, you know, written content will probably be an important part of production for news organizations, but there will definitely be other products. We are starting to see an increasing product culture coming out of news organizations, not just some of the massive ones, but, you know, smaller ones are much more agile and can do a lot of things quite quickly as well. It also kind of aligns with my own personal take on things. I think going forward, you know, we need to have that product mindset a bit more in news organizations to be able to really serve audiences and serve the different needs, really.
And once again, we're talking about another product, this time a quiz to fulfill an underserved user need. As we've discussed, it's normally the mismatch between how a user need scores and how often it is commissioned, which indicates whether a user need is under or overserved. But is there another way to look at this? Khalil is inspired by the Digital News Report, which came out with a user need priority index by combining the metrics of how important audiences think user needs are and how well they are served. Khalil thinks that newsrooms can create a similar index for identifying opportunities within user needs.
Basically, we look at what we're producing and we look at the mismatch between what the audiences tell us that they need, what their needs are, kind of stuff, right? So we look at the mismatch. We know that there are different levels of priority for the different needs. Well, in my own research, I'd never kind of, you know, mix the two information into one metric, which is what they did. And I think that's really, really powerful, because what basically that index tells us is, you know, which needs are really more actionable in some ways. You know, we're probably going to be more valuable to audiences more quickly if we target those specific needs. And that's very interesting.
I see. So it could inform strategies, what you're essentially saying, in terms of identifying the more, I don't want to say low-hanging fruit, but the nearest opportunities within their audience.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is we can replicate that index with our own research. So we can basically, what we can do now is, again, assuming that, you know, next year's report will also have user needs information and on, we can sort of align our research with their research and sort of get a better understanding of how our own audiences relate to, you know, the more kind of general audiences that they're looking at. So that becomes really, really interesting, I think.
And here's a useful parting thought from Sarah Marshall, who captured something similar, but in a slightly different light. that it's vital that news organisations don't just rely on the data to figure out what audiences really need.
Just that exercise. I think sometimes in newsrooms we forget to take a beat, to stop, and to just reflect upon how we can think about things. Like, what's our purpose? You know, what are we here for?
My takeaway for today is that user needs aren't just about writing articles. If you're stuck on how to deliver on a user need, think outside the box a bit. There are so many opportunities within newsletters, series, quizzes, and so on to meet the needs that aren't being met. Inspire Me and Divert Me, two definitely to consider, but look into the other six as well, and maybe beyond, see if you can forge a unique user need of your own. We heard lots of great examples today, but what are you testing out? What's working and what's not? I want to know. Find me on LinkedIn, Twitter/X@JPGJournalism, or email me on jacob@journalism.co.uk. You can check out all of our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the journalism.co.uk podcast. But that's all we have time for this week. I've been your host, Jacob Granger. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.